you know, Rob dressing me there just reminded me of when I was a child and I used to have to be dressed by my parents and my mother, and they used to laugh, especially in the summer when I got new sandals. And in those days, you boys won't remember it, Chris, but in those days, all kiddies' sandals had buckles, and the buckles were always on the outside. But I hadn't got the hang of it when I was about four. I put them on the wrong feet, and they're pointing out that way. But I was great. I was out playing in the street, and nobody bothered, you know. But that's it. That's what we should be like here. We can relax. We can be children. We're children of God. We're in His house. And He sees us and He loves us, no matter whether we've got our shoes on the right feet or the wrong feet. You know, it was just something to think about. But today's reading, surprisingly enough, as it's Pentecost, comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. It's entitled, The Fellowship of the Believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. So reads the Word of God. What I want to consider and to look at this morning is, how important is fellowship within the church? And do we do church? Or do we be church? That's a question that I want to look into and on the answer. But before we do that, let's just quieten our hearts and come before the Lord and ask for His guidance. Dear Lord, we come to You this morning. We want to hear from You. We want to be guided from You, Lord. Lord, take me out of this message altogether. Use me as Your mouthpiece. And Lord, just bless us from Your word. We thank You for all that You do for each one of us. Holy Spirit, have Your way with us. Move amongst us, because we all need a touch from You this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I say, I've entitled this morning's message, Do Church or Be Church? Question mark. What is fellowship? How important is it for us as a church? How do you think you would answer these questions? Acts 2, verses 41 to 42 tells us this. Those who accepted His message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now, fellowship, the general meaning of fellowship is to share something that you have in common. Today, fellowship is used widely to in various fraternities and even in vocationals, such as the Fellowship of the Royal College of Surgeons, because they've got something in common. If you're a surgeon, you're into cutting people up, weren't you? And replacing things and making things better, hopefully. But they've all got one thing in common. And as a church, we have got something in common. But I think it's important that we have a distinction between the general meaning of fellowship and the spiritual meaning. Because if we don't, just think how easy it would be for us to fall into the danger of just treating church as any other society or a club, which it certainly is not. We need to remember what we share in common as Christians. We enjoy a relationship with God, the Father, His Son, our Lord and Saviour, if we know Him. And then, if we know Him, we also enjoy the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who is our guide. If we look at First John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, we read, and this is from the apostles, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." You notice, they were talking and expressing their faith to the believers, and they were making their joy complete. And that's what we should be doing. We should be testifying to others out there, and it'll make our joy complete that we're sharing something. We don't want to hide it. We don't want to be putting our light under a bushel, as it were. We want to show the light of Jesus to others if we hope to bring them into the kingdom. Now here, I believe, those words were from John, is simply saying, I want to share the first-hand experiences that I have had. I want you to know the Christ that I personally knew and witnessed. I had a first-hand encounter with Him, and I saw everything He done and everything He meant. And you know, we want to know this because we want to bring you believers. This is what they were saying. We want to bring you believers into this fellowship. We want you to enjoy the joy that we have and experience this Christ, this Messiah. Now, that might be fellowship to us, but ultimately by doing that, by imparting this first-hand truth, as we can read in verse 3, which reads, "Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son." Ultimately, fellowship can only mean one thing to us. That is fellowship with the Godhead. As verse 4 told us, fellowship with the Godhead will complete our joy. It shouldn't complete our joy because it means we're not on our own. We have got a guardian within us, someone to keep us from going wrong. Now, there are denominations, different denominations. We are one, Baptist. We call this our chapel, Baptist chapel. The other ones refer to their place of worship as a church. Other ones, mission halls. There's various names. But you know, whatever the name of the building is, it's just that. It's just a building. It's just bricks and mortar. We, the people who are called by God, they're the church. Those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, as most of us here have, we are the church. We were called out of the world and called into fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it's only the Holy Spirit that can enable anyone to accept the Lord. He's the only one that can soften the heart and open the ears to hear the gospel. You know, once you've accepted the Lord, then you can enjoy fellowship with the complete Godhead as heirs to the kingdom. That's this common bond that we all share. We are heirs to the kingdom. As Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful, who has called us into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is what we've been called to share, the life of God's Son. Whenever you use the term fellowship, what does it conjure up in your mind? Maybe common beliefs, fundamentals of faith, even creedal statements. But that's not what fellowship should mean to us as Christians. Fellowship should mean that we are sharing God with one another, the very life of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think it's right to say that the church, which is us, needs, first and foremost, fellowship if it hopes to grow. Some may and some could say that church exists for many reasons. But remember, it's not the buildings, it's us. And if we are the church, we have got only one reason to exist, and that's to praise and worship our Lord Jesus Christ and to thank the Father for all he has done for us and the Holy Spirit within us for keeping us on the right track. Some believe that churches are just primarily for fellowship with each other, and they misunderstand what fellowship really is. Now, those who heard and believed the word came into fellowship with the Godhead on that occasion of Pentecost. We are told there was many saved and added to the numbers that day. And they enjoyed fellowship. I believe fellowship is simply communion with the Godhead and each other. Communication with each other. Encouraging one another. Building each other up. And not picking fault with each other. But gently steering people if they're making the wrong moves. With each of us, we need to be in communion with each other, simply to allow us to be able to praise and worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth, that is beneficial to both the Godhead and to us, to encourage us, to build us up. Now, there are some who think that fellowship is just a means to an end, whatever that end might be. But no, fellowship should be the end that we are striving for. That is the goal. That is the purpose of John's Gospel. In John's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 1 to 3, it's where Jesus prays to be glorified. We read, "After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have, you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.'" You know, when you look at verse 3 again there, it reads, "Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That's how Jesus defined eternal life. Not heaven when you die, or escaping hell, but thank God that those two things are true. But the ultimate purpose of the gospel, the good news of Jesus dying and rising again, so that by repentance and faith we can receive what he has accomplished, that we might know God, that we might share God's life, and that we might share it with each other. Therefore, If that's what fellowship is, then obviously fellowship is not just about coming to church, meeting together. Fellowship is certainly not sitting in a pew looking at the back of someone else's neck. That's how some may think of it. Nor is it just about supporting church events. Nor has fellowship anything to do with church membership. Having your name on the roll, as it were. Someone once said to me that there are those in membership who are not necessarily in fellowship, and those in fellowship who are not in membership. Just think about that. A busy church program has nothing necessarily to do with fellowship or being church. Frantic activity is not fellowship, even if those activities are very exciting ones. That is, if they're not God-inspired. I think it's tragic that some fellowship can often be thought of as a wee cup of tea and a biscuit after the service, and then we'll have some fellowship. Won't that be great? You know, I'm sure you've heard that said. Have you ever heard it said that there's not enough fellowship here? You know, what do people mean by that? There's not enough fellowship here in this place. You know, I often wonder where they're coming from, if they know the same Lord that I do. Then they made it. Decide to try and introduce some event or other to get them together, to socialize, to chat and enjoy one another's company. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not a spoiled sport. It's good, and we need to interact with one another as Christians. We need to develop meaningful relationships. But fellowship is much more than friendship. It has to be more than just a mere social club. It's about sharing the life of God and the privileges that we have only because of his Son bearing our sin on that cross, going to the grave and being raised again for us. That's why we can rejoice today as we celebrate Pentecost, because the disciples were told to wait in Jerusalem, as we've already heard this morning, until the Holy Spirit was sent. We don't need to wait in Jerusalem. Once you accept the Lord today, you will be infilled with the Holy Spirit, because we all need his guidance. Here at CBC, where should our focus be today? How should we do church? A, by strictly adhering to the Word of God, or B, to appeal more to the community around us? Now, both of them sound very plausible, but I would like to suggest that both of these options are wrong. Why? Whatever your opinion on those issues, we don't do church. We are church. And there's a big difference, and it's vital that we recognize that distinction. If we are inheritors of the kingdom, then the doing in our Christian life will naturally flow out of that. But we need to belong first before the doing can follow. In Mark's gospel, we're told Jesus called his disciples to him first. He had to have the workforce. Then, having called them, he sent them out to do his work. You know, it's important that we get things right. We need to be in his army before we can fight his battles. And if we're in his army, then We need to be fighting his battles. And if we are in an army, it means that we've got others. We're in a platoon. We're in a company. We're in a division. And that's what fellowship is all about. That's what church is, coming together to bind us together, as we've sung. Bind us together so that we can do his work. You know, John 15, verses 4 to 5, this is Jesus talking. We're told, remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, it's so true. On our own, we are so weak. I know I am. I've met people and I've had opportunities to speak to them. And because of the company around or whatever, I've shied away. And I admit that. And I've had to confess to the Lord about that. Well, I didn't need to, because he already knew. But to give me peace, I had to get it off my conscience. And it's easier said than done. It's like a child when he pinches something, you know, whether it's a biscuit off the plate, and mum says, did you pinch that biscuit? No, how many did you have? Just the one, mum. And the more you ask, the more he denies, or she denies. And with each denial, it makes it harder for them to turn around and admit their guilt. I've been there as a child. I'm sure most of you have. You've done it before. But if you just say, I'm sorry. Yes, I did, mum, and two. Okay, you may have got a little smack, but it would have been over done and dusted. Instead, you give yourself all that worry by carrying all that burdens yourself. And it's a lovely song. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. If you've got any problems, no matter what it is, nothing is too small for him. He can cover everything from a sore toe to a pimple. It doesn't matter. If it's important to you, it's more important to him. So ask and you will receive. I'm going to close this morning, and we need to be church and not just try to do church. We need to have fellowship with each other, as we are told in Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but by encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the days approaching. Now, the days are approaching, and I'm sure you've all seen what's been happening in Israel with the rockets going back and forward. And I think they're all a sign of what's to come. You know, the fragmentation that's going on throughout the world. This pandemic has broken up families. There are people in this country who are in residential care, and they've been held like prisoners. They haven't had any rights. They can't go out. If they go out for a walk, like we can go out, we're allowed to go out for a walk and get our exercise and go back in, go do our shopping. But if they go out for a walk, a lot of them have got to go into the rooms and isolate for 14 days. And families haven't been allowed to go in and touch them. Thankfully now, even with masks on and PPE and all the rest of it, they can go in and give them a hug now. You know, one at a time. But when you think of what those people have been deprived of, you know, our Lord isn't like that. He doesn't want us to be isolated. He doesn't want us to be on our own. He wants us to be in fellowship. He wants us to be church together. And I just want to encourage you this morning, whatever your circumstances are, take it to the Lord in prayer. You know, the communion of the saints is recognized commonly between those who are truly born again and seeking to walk in the Spirit. They recognize their brothers and their sisters in Christ. They're in fellowship with the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe in the communion of the saints? Well, that's what fellowship is. And that's what being church means. Being in fellowship with the saints. Because we can come here and there's can be few numbers. We've got a large number today, a larger number than normal today. But there can be few. But the whole of the saints are here with us if we are in communion with each other and with the Holy Spirit. Because we are all part of the one family. It's just like the family that we have lost. I mean, I'm the youngest of 10. There's only two of us still surviving, so I've lost lots of family and cousins and nieces and all the rest of it. But they're still part of my family. They're still within me, and I owe a lot to them. And they're still with me today. Ours are all of the saints who have gone before us. They're with us today. And they are in our corner. And that's the army that we're part of. So I just want to encourage you today to embrace fellowship, embrace the Lord and everything that he has for you. Because as Jeremiah, and I'm going to finish with my old favorite, Jeremiah says, I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And without Christ, there is no future. Yeah? So I'll leave you with that. Let's just pray. Let's just come to the Lord. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I just pray that you will enable us to just be true to you in all that we do, that we will recognize that those of us who know you, that we are the church, and we can't blame anybody else for anything, but we need to take our responsibility seriously. Because we hear a lot about rights, but people want their rights, but they don't want their responsibilities. Lord, help us to just acknowledge what our rights are and accept the responsibilities that go along with them. Our responsibilities to do your work, to complete the Great Commission, to go out and bring others to you, as you did on the day of Pentecost when numbers, loads were added to their name that day. Lord, we want to go out and do your work in this place and throughout the world. Lord, we just pray that you will strengthen us and encourage us and embolden us to do your will. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.